Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
The Dave Hooker Show.
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
Objective insight, expertise, top guest. Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app.
Download now for free.
Also available on offthehooksports.com.
I compute and obey.
Now to Dave Hooker.
Ready. Let's go. John Adams will join us in just a matter of time, and we always look forward to that. Caleb Calhoun, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Happy Tuesday, Dave.
Happy Tuesday to you. We've got a lot going on the program, so we're definitely looking forward to that. Give us a preview of some of the topics that we will be diving into with John Adams, who will join us here momentarily. What we got on the board there, Caleb?
Yeah, so guys, we're going to light into Josh Heupel a little bit because I feel like he's taking some undeserved credit for something. We're also going to talk about overpaid college head coaches. So it's just a day of taking a lot of shots at head coaches in the first block. But we've also got, we're going to talk a little bit about the Lady Vols roster. We talked about their commitment yesterday. And we're going to ask John, just does this roster surpass last year's team? And Tennessee baseball is at number one now. Does that mean anything? Is that actually bad news for the program? Because of the history of baseball programs that have the number one overall seed once the NCAA tournament begins. And also, we're going to talk about Snoop and Dre sponsoring a bowl game, a little gin and juice, and also the Tom Brady roast. Would his rival Peyton Manning ever do something like that? We're going to talk about that too.
Okay, so, we'll get into that. I can't imagine that. Did you hear some of the things that were said at the roast, how absolutely brutal they were?
They were brutal, and you had to have you had to be willing to laugh at things that were very tragic in nature in the past if you were going to watch it. I mean, I could not believe there was a 9/11 joke in there. I could not believe they actually did that.
No, to me, it was very, very bizarre. We also have a young man who is going to be announcing his college decision, so we'll get to that a little bit later in the program. So you talked about Josh Heupel. Before we get John on, if you can just kind of encapsulate Josh Heupel's quote about the NFL and what he's driving at, because all comments publicly are made for recruiting.
Josh Heupel said that he's excited for the guys and their landing spots in the NFL draft. But he went on to say that the success of Tennessee's recent run of NFL draft picks over the past 3 years, in which they've had 13 players drafted, the most in a three-year run since 2005, 2002, 2007, when they had 14 players drafted. He said that, quote, speaks to what we're doing. Now, the gigantic, insane, ridiculous flaw in Josh Heupel saying that is that 11 of the 13 players that have been drafted since Josh Heupel took over at Tennessee were signed by Jeremy Pruitt. So for Josh Heupel to say it speaks to what we're doing, the truth of the matter is the only credit he could maybe take on that is the actual development. And I don't want to take that away from him, but some of these players that made it into the NFL draft, a la Hendon Hooker, were players he never even wanted to be involved with in the first place. So, I mean, and if it wasn't for Hendon Hooker, if he had started Joe Milton like he wanted to in 2021, I can guarantee you Jalin Hyatt wouldn't have been drafted and Cedric Tillman wouldn't have been drafted. So I think it's a little bizarre for him to say it quote, speaks to what we're doing when Jeremy Pruitt was the one who signed a lot of those guys.
That's true. Let's set it up. Today's tough question is now, and it's brought to you by Rick Terry Jewelry Design.
Today's tough question. Take a side.
Take a stand.
The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
Let's bring John Adams in here. His appearance brought to you by Newbert Collision Center. And John, I ask you, is Josh Heupel taking too much credit for NFL success and NFL draftees when he didn't bring even half of those guys in that have been drafted in the past 3 years? What are your thoughts initially? And welcome to the program.
And I think he should get credit for it, certainly with Hendon Hooker. I know he didn't start him initially, but he was a perfect fit for this offense, and it brought out the best in him. I mean, he wasn't going to get drafted staying in Virginia Tech, I don't think. Also, when you look at his wideouts, Cedric Tillman and Jalin Hyatt were just – they were kind of fading away under Jeremy Pruitt. So although Heupel didn't sign them, I thought he made them NFL draftable. So I think it's okay for him to take success. When he does that too, you got to promote your program. That's kind of what he's doing.
Yeah. And John, would you rather have a guy that's a great developer of players, or would you rather have a guy that is a great recruiter? I could make a realistic argument for either one.
If they're making more than $9 million a year, they should be both.
Fair enough. Caleb, jump in there. What do you think? More than $9 million a year, that definitely puts you in a different expectations bracket.
So let me... make the best case for what John Adams is saying real quick, which is that if you look at this past year's NFL draft, if you look at the history of programs that have had draft success, it's actually much more about the team success and the coaching and the developing than it was the recruiting. There have been plenty of coaches who have recruited great talent and then didn't win with it, and then coaches who did more with less. Just for context, Alabama didn't have anybody taken in the 2008 draft after Nick Saban's first year. There was a belief that they had very limited talent, but they had five guys go, I believe, the next year. And then they had a ton of guys go. I think it was like nine the year after that. I don't think they have 14 players from the team. Those were all from the team that Nick Saban took over in 2007. I'm pretty sure if Nick Saban doesn't have the early success he had in 08 and 09, they're not going to have those 14 players get drafted. So I will give you, John, that I'm pretty sure if Jeremy Pruitt is still head coach at Tennessee, those 13 players, the 11 that he signed, most of them are probably not getting drafted. But
I think go ahead.
No. Actually, go ahead on that.
No, I was just going to say, if Jeremy Pruitt was still at Tennessee, I'm not sure Tennessee would have a football program.
There's a lot of truth to that in the amount of NCAA issues they were committing. I also don't have any reason to think that Jeremy Pruitt would develop offensive players. I'm sure he could turn Arian Carter into an incredible linebacker, edge rusher. I'm sure he could do the same for James Pierce, but I don't have any reason to believe he could develop guys that can do much more than play the run in the box or rush the passer. Points, certain portions of the program brought to you by Rick Terry Jewelry Design. They want to be your jeweler looking for affordable game day jewelry. How about the Fire Opals, a Tennessee tradition? RickTerryJewelry.com, RickTerryJewelry.com. As a matter of fact, John, I would gamble on the fact that he's not going to be able to develop a quarterback or running back or an offensive lineman. He better hire the right guys, and coaches know what's going on behind the scenes. So I don't think he would have ever been able to hire the right guys because they knew he was cheating.
Yeah, I don't think we wanted to turn this into Jeremy Pruitt's a bashing show, but maybe that's okay.
Well, let me ask you this. Whether it's Pruitt's selection of prospects, whether it is Josh Heupel's development of them, Caleb, let me start with you, and then I'm going to ask John the same question. Are we officially to the point where the production from the NFL, for whatever reason it is, and most kids aren't going to do the research, Caleb, that you do to find out who recruited who, is it a hands-down, no-argument positive for Tennessee moving forward in recruiting?
I don't know if – I wouldn't say the production in the NFL is, although the production in the NFL helps because
– Well, not production in the NFL – we're not that far. Just getting selected. Sorry.
Yes, getting selected. I would say that is because I would say this. The mark of a good coach, and this is the truth, is if players get drafted higher than they should. The mark of a bad coach is if players get drafted lower than they should. It was an indictment on Jeremy Pruitt and Butch Jones that Trey Smith and Alvin Kamara fell so low in the draft in their respective drafts. So I do think it is a positive because if you're a good coach and doing your job, there's going to be a lot of buzz from your program because NFL scouts are going to want to draft them because they produce for you.
John, I don't think that most of these kids know who recruited who. I think they look at the past couple of years and they're like, man, 13 or whatever the number is to the NFL. That is in line with any of the best programs in the nation. I'm not saying it's as elite as Georgia, but those numbers at least don't pale in comparison to other programs anymore like they used to.
No, they're not. Recruits aren't doing that kind of research. They could figure out that Nick Saban put a lot of guys in the NFL. They knew that. And Kirby Smart and Georgia seem to be doing the same thing. Ohio State does okay at that. But, yeah, they're not going deep into any of this. One of the issues now, though, with this, when talking about players that used to be the key thing would be, can a coach get me or can a program get you to the NFL? I think a lot of times now players are just looking at their NIL deal. Who's got the best, who offers them the most right now, and they're taking that and they're not worried about what's coming next.
I can't imagine being that short-sighted, but I think you're probably right. Yeah. I think there are some guys that do that.
Well, sure.
I mean, probably the majority, actually.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of these guys are thinking where they're going to be in 10 years? Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, somebody asked me, he said, why would somebody take $50,000 more to play for a coach with an okay history of sending people to the NFL as opposed to taking a Saban-like discount? I know he's not coaching anymore. And it could be $50,000 that – this person's parents may not make $50,000 combined as a household income. I mean, I'm not saying it's the right move, but I understand if you're destitute, how you would make this short-term move.
Also, I mean, $50,000, you can get a better car, a sports car with that.
You can. And I've seen recently where Brew McCoy will take you for a ride in his Hellcat, if you would like to. Boy, yeah. Wouldn't that be a disaster if Brew McCoy took you for a ride in his Hellcat and there was some sort of traffic accident? Surely, what could go wrong? That won't happen. If so, I would say Brew would need to go to Joe Newbert Collision Center that brings you John Adams' appearance each and every week.
In its 45th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Neubert Collision Center.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This summer, don't be left without air conditioning. Call Care Heating and Cooling and get on a care plan to protect your family. With a care plan, you get system maintenance and priority service in case of emergency, giving you peace of mind. Plus, a well-maintained air conditioner runs more efficiently and saves you money. At Care, their service technicians are paid to fix your AC, not sell you a new one. And their award-winning team is available 7 days a week. Call Care today at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
All right, there are some overpaid coaches, and I just want to dive into it right now and get John's thoughts on the most overpaid coaches that are out there, because I look at these contracts and sometimes I'm like, what the H?
What the? Why was he thinking?
Release the hounds.
The Dave Hooker Show.
Keep cool.
A presentation of offthehooksports.com.
What coaches in the SEC are overpaid? We're going to talk Pittman, Stoops, Kelly, Napier, Day, even Kirby Smart. It's Four Downs, and it's brought to you by our good friends at Dynasty Pools and Spas. All right, so let me ask you first of all, John, I'm going to ask you the same question, Caleb. Who has the leverage right now in terms of negotiating the best deal for themselves, John? Is it the coaches, like it's been most of my lifetime, or is it the schools? Who has the leverage?
Oh, I still think the coaches do. I mean, Kirby Smart just negotiated a new deal that will pay him about $13 million a year. So I would say when you win at that level, you've won two national championships, came within a play of a third national title, you pretty much call the shots.
Yep, I would agree with that. And that was First Down. Coop, what should people do?
Cooper Mays here. Hit like and subscribe.
All right. First Down is this.
Coop here. First Down.
Okay, I'm going to give you some names, and you tell me if they're overpaid. Caleb, I'll start with you. Sam Pittman, what does he make? Overpaid? Yay or nay?
Sam Pittman right now, according to USA Today salary database, is the he is a top 25 paid coach. I believe he is the 22nd highest paid coach in America, and he makes $6.3 million.
Sam Pittman making $6.3 million mean there's something wrong with the basic time continuum of our universe. Sam Pittman making $6 million is about the craziest thing I've heard in several weeks.
Yeah, he's massively overpaid. Massively. And I say that with respect to the character of him, the person.
John?
But yes, he's overpaid.
Yeah, he was a good offensive line coach, but you can get a good offensive line coach for less than $6 million.
Or you can make him your AD.
Cooper Mays here.
All right, how about a guy named Brian Kelly? Overpaid? Not overpaid. John?
What? John, start with this.
How much is the cash? What are we talking about there, Caleb?
He's making $10 million.
Kelly is the Brian Kelly is now with Nick Saban and Mel Tucker, having been retired because Mel Tucker was a top five paid coach last year. Brian Kelly is the fourth highest paid coach, making $9,975,000. Fourth highest paid coach in the nation.
John, I have no problem with that because I think they win championships at LSU with goofballs, so why not do it with a great coach?
Yeah, the thing is, Notre Dame had to pay a lot of money to get him. I mean, LSU had to pay a lot of money to get him to leave Notre Dame. So right away, his salary. I mean, when you get down to it, all these guys are overpaid. But we're talking within the context of college football, so it's a different universe. But no, I agree with Caleb. I think he certainly LSU has the potential to compete and win national championships. Brian Kelly took Notre Dame teams to the playoffs. You certainly can make a strong case that he could eventually win a national title at LSU. He's recruiting great in 2025. So, no, as the market goes, I mean, would you rather pay him $9 million or Sam Pittman $6
million? I'd rather pay him $9 million.
Guys, I got an answer to that, and it may shock you on this. Because I think LSU was such an insanely easy job, because I think you can wake up and win a national championship with players that just commit to your program without you doing anything. I might rather pay Sam Pittman $6 million. And I say that because Brian Kelly, I'm eating a little crow on this. 2 years at LSU, back-to-back four lost seasons. That's massively underachieving what he was paid to do at the easiest job in America.
John, is some of the shine off Brian Kelly?
No, not after just two seasons. LSU's defense was horrendous.
I would say a little. I thought year two he would take another jump. I just thought year two they would be slightly better. I didn't see the big jump from year one to year two.
Yeah. I thought they would be better too. I thought they would be in the college football playoff, but I still think he's a really good coach, and I don't know whom LSU could have gotten that would have been better. So I don't think winning at LSU is as easy as Caleb makes it out to be. Yeah, I know, because Les Miles and Ed Orgeron won national titles. That makes it look like any Dumbo could win a national championship there. But you go back, Nick Saban only won one national title there. And it was many years before that. LSU, I think, won one in 58, didn't win another one for 45 years. So I don't think it's that easy at LSU.
Okay, it's four
Les
down.
Les Miles has had a better first 2 years than Brian Kelly did. I just want to point that out.
Who did?
At LSU. Les Miles had a better first 2 years at LSU than Brian Kelly did.
That's a head scratcher.
I know, but he also, when he won that national title, a lot of players on that team were fifth-year seniors that were signed by Nick Saban and been developed by Nick Saban. So I think that counts for something. I'm not going to give Nick – I'm not about to say that I'd rather have Les Miles than Brian Kelly as my coach. I would rather have – Dave Hooker is my coach in Les Miles.
That's right.
And I'm not that high on Dave.
I would throw that heat is what I would do.
Does Dave season his grass before he eats it, though?
The tempo. Boy, I'll run some tempo for you. What down, Coop?
Tennessee Center Cooper Mays here. Third down.
Actually, as an experiment, I would bring back the wing tee and just see how it did. And I'd either be really successful or people would be like, what a blithering idiot.
Dave has an advantage that he can tell time. He can actually read a clock. I've seen him do that. Les Miles struggle with that repeatedly.
Somehow always pulled it out, though, because he was the luckiest coach in America.
Like, I know. He really was.
Yeah. Lucky no one ever speaks to me job. About – Sorry?
Well, one thing to remember about Les Miles, he did undergo brain surgery before he went to LSU.
Now we all feel like jerks. Billy Napier or Ryan Day, these were guys that were supposed to both be saviors at their school. I mean, Billy Napier was highly regarded when Florida hired him. I was told Ryan Day was the golden boy at Ohio State. They thought he'd have more success than Urban Meyer before he was hired. What are they making, Caleb? And who's the most overpaid between the two before we get to a gentleman that I know people want to talk about? And it rhymes with Burby. Go ahead with Napier and Day.
So given the fact that Ryan Day is now the third highest paid head coach behind Dabo Swinney and Kirby Smart, and he's making $10.2 million. Billy Napier, given the fact that four coaches ahead of him last year are now gone, Nick Saban, Mel Tucker, Jimbo Fisher, and Jim Harbaugh, Billy Napier is now the 12th highest paid coach in the nation at $7.27 million. And so as overpaid as I think Billy Napier is, and I know we've all laughed at him, I still think Ryan Day is more overpaid, because I think Ohio State is, when I talk about the level of LSU, I think Ohio State's another program on that level. You should fall out of bed and be able to win a national championship with the talent that you base that you have. And Ryan Day losing to Michigan 3 years in a row is just absolutely inexcusable. Ohio State's an easier job than Michigan.
John, what say you?
Oh, Billy Napier is. Plus, you got to also consider how much money his army of assistants and peripheral staff members are getting paid, because he tried to build sort of a We Are the World complex down there by hiring so many people to take care of every single duty. I mean,
I just watch a documentary on We Are the World.
Dave, you need to take personal inventory. I mean, Ryan Day, yeah, he's underachieved. However, he came pretty close to a national title, really close, in 2022. So I wouldn't put him in Billy Napier's category. I would hire Ryan Day in a heartbeat over Billy Napier wherever I was.
Okay, I'll tell you who all they were waiting on to see if We Are the World was actually going to happen. And I'll have fourth down, which has to do with a guy named Kirby Smart. Four downs brought to you by our friends at Dynasty Pools and Spas. You know, the best thing about Dynasty Pools and Spas is that they've got it all taken care of. What does that mean? Well, you stop by their showroom and check out their fantastic selection of top-notch spas in that showroom in Athens. Make your pick and get ready, because Dynasty Pools and Spas delivers within 125 miles of that location in Athens, that fantastic showroom. They've got the cover lifts, steps, chemicals, and everything you need. Delivery at no extra charge. Just down the road in Athens. You pick the spa you want, and it'll be there for you. Oftentimes discounted with military and first responders discounts. Also blemish bottles, or just mention Off the Hook Sports. That's Off the Hook Sports for $500 off. There's a discount for you on spas made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas also has the best chemicals for you and your spa and your pool. No fillers, just the chemicals. Made right here in East Tennessee. Support local Dynasty Pools and Spas. $500 off if you mention Off the Hook Sports. $500 off if you mention Off the Hook Sports. Dynasty Pools and Spas. DynastyPoolsandSpas.com.
All SEC center Cooper Mays here. Fourth down.
Ryan Day, what's he making? I'm sorry. Kirby Smart, what's he making? And considering his in-state talent, is he overpaid? That's what Caleb is going to suggest. Bet, Caleb.
Yeah, Kirby Smart is the $13 million man, the highest paid coach in history. But again, Georgia is right there with Ohio State and LSU. Those are the three tier one jobs in America where you can fall out of bed, get a number one recruiting class. And so I think even though he's earned it to a certain degree and you can't question the production, I think Kirby Smart might be overpaid, because I think there's about 10 coaches that could do what he could do. And people are going to call me crazy. And John, before you jump in, because I know you're going to talk about how Georgia didn't win anything before Kirby Smart got there. But there's a history to that too, because we know that when Mark Richt was there, they insisted on a level of, and I give them credit for this, they insisted on a level of discipline and integrity where they weren't going to, where they held themselves to a higher moral standard than a lot of other SEC schools. And I think that held them back. And once Kirby Smart came, they decided, let's just have the same moral standards as every other major SEC school. And that's why they're winning at a higher level now.
All right, John, is Kirby Smart overpaid?
That's crazy.
No, not at all. When you win two national titles and almost win a third, of course not. When you compare him to the other salaries, Caleb, you're making it sound way too easy to win national championships. I don't care all the resources you have. It is hard to win a national championship. I mean, Ohio State won. How many did it win under Urban Meyer? One. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. You just make it sound like anybody shows up at these schools and they're going to win national titles. It just doesn't happen. Mark Richt was a good coach. He had good players, but he couldn't even get to a championship game. I don't think it was just about Georgia's different standards. I think it's a lot harder to win a national title than what you're saying.
Caleb, I don't want to gang up on you, but I do think there's a little bit of truth to that. Steve Spurrier only has one. Doesn't it seem like he should have more? There are a lot of great coaches who didn't win any or just won one. I maybe am with John. Again, don't want to gang up on you. I think it's a little bit more difficult. Now, if you want to go to your LSU example, which is perfectly fine, and I get it, with Ed Orgeron, he also had a generational worker top slash quarterback slash leader in Joe Burrow. Those guys are Manning top guys. They don't just fall in your lap. I think he was that good for that program. So, again, not to put you on the defensive, but you think how many coaches could win a national championship at Georgia?
Well, I think 10, but I think a lot of national again, there's a difference between what I think is between being a national championship and putting yourself in position for one. And so what I mean by that is Georgia has won, what, two SEC championships since Kirby Smart's been there? That's about it. 20.
Yes.
So from.
It's two.
Okay. So they've won two in 8-9 years. That's the exact same number of SEC championships Mark Richt won. And had there been a college football playoff, Mark Richt would have actually been in a college football playoff to compete for a national championship during that time.
I'll ask you this too, John, when we look, and you, Caleb, when we look back over the past 10 years, how much do we sort of have to grade everybody on a curve because they had a guy named Nick Saban? There were a lot of good championship teams that didn't win a championship, John, because Nick Saban's team was just a little bit better.
Yeah, you can look at college football through that lens, not just in the SEC, anywhere. When you look at what Bobby Bowden did at Florida State, he was one of the greatest coaches of all time. He probably would have won three more national titles if Miami hadn't been so good during the same era that he took his program to the top. You could say the same thing about Steve Spurrier. It wasn't so much the SEC that often got Spurrier beat. It was Florida State, because Florida State was at a pinnacle at the same time. So, yeah, I think you can't – Alabama under Bear Bryant and Alabama under Nick Saban, those are the two dynasties in SEC football. Smart's working on one, but not there yet.
Now, did you want to address Josh Heupel? Because Josh Heupel, what is his salary now? Where is he?
Well, I was going to save that because I was going to do a segment on underpaid head coaches.
We'll do underpaid head coaches a little bit later. How about that, John? Maybe even next. Stay tuned. 2 minutes, and we'll talk Josh Heupel's salary with John Adams. I'm Dave Hooker. Caleb Calhoun is the man. More coming up, including today's tough question. John's appearance is brought to you by Neubert Collision Center. We love them. Stay tuned. 2 minutes, and we're back with more John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel.
35th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that. If we wouldn't put our family in it, we're not going to put their family in it. If you're going to say that you're doing the best work in Knoxville, now saying it's one thing, producing it and providing it's another.
The largest family-owned collision center in Knoxville is Joe Neubert Collision Center.
Hi, I'm Rick Terry, and we at Rick Terry Jewelry Designs pride ourselves in the highest quality craftsmanship from a family-owned business here in Knoxville for over 35 years. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we also take pride in being an affordable option for all your game day accessories, especially those fire opals. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we want to be your jeweler every day and especially on game day. Go Vols!
Hi, Mike Davis here with City Heating and Air, reminding you to always dare to compare. Our team provides quality local heating and air service, installation, and maintenance across East Tennessee. We use only the best equipment like American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning for your residential, new construction, or commercial needs. Honesty, dependability, and customer satisfaction have been the cornerstones of our business since 1961. City Heat and Air.
There's your bear.
Experience it all at Ray Varner Ford in Clinton. Need a quick fix or routine maintenance? Visit our Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. Keep your Ford running smoothly with the experts in our service department. Ready for your next Ford? Our sales team's here to guide you through. 24 Ford Badlands Bronco, $59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, $28,540. 24 Ford Explorer, XLT four-wheel drive, $49,996. Local you trust? Experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks & Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
Who's this guy?
Hello, wizard!
The Dave Hooker Show.
Who?
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
What?
YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the free Off the Hook Sports app. Back to Dave Hooker.
We love it when John Adams joins us on a Tuesday. It'll be Jimmy Himes joining us on a Wednesday tomorrow. And a special guest will announce that will be our new Thursday regular. You got to have some regulars, John, when you know you run a place like Hooker's Corner. You don't have regulars. What kind of foundation do you have financially to keep the business going when maybe some of your hit and miss clients are a lot of missing or having hard times financially?
You want me to comment on that, Dave?
I really, really don't think I do. I think I just scared myself a little bit. So thanks for giving me an out. The Lady Vols, you liked the hire when Tennessee went out and got Kim Caldwell. We have seen a couple of transfer portal players. Your thoughts on how the Lady Vols should be this year talent-wise compared to last year? The Lady Vols roster surpassed last year's team, which wasn't great, in terms of talent. Do you have an early read on Tennessee's new Lady Vol basketball head coach?
Well, first of all, to clarify, yeah, I like to hire because I don't think Tennessee could get the top-level coach that it wanted. Couldn't pull it off. The job wasn't as attractive to on the market as perhaps UT had thought. But to go in a different direction, I mean, I think it's you can take a chance on somebody, a young coach like Caldwell. The roster, this probably is the worst roster the Lady Vols have had since I've been in Knoxville. It goes back to 87. This is not only is it a weak roster, it's the roster doesn't fit what Kim Caldwell wants to do at all. She's got too many players that weren't recruited to play this system. Three transfers have helped, but look at what the competition has done. Tennessee hasn't added enough from the transfer portal to say it's gaining ground on any of the heavyweights in women's basketball. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough transitional period, and it's going to be a real challenge to make the NCAA tournament. Right now, I don't know how good those transfers will be, but I think Tennessee probably tried to get a higher quality of transfer and couldn't pull it off. It's hard to do that because all these people that go in the portal, a lot of them have a good idea where they're headed when they go into the portal. So Caldwell's late to the party, and then she's got to scramble. She's got to assemble a staff, do all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah, I think she's going to probably have a tough first season.
Hey, Caleb, you usually get a pass in your first season, right? But does Caldwell get a pass if the Lady Vols don't make the NCAA tournament? Maybe she should. That just sounds – Lady Vols, not NCAA tournament, sounds awful.
I don't think she gets a pass. John, where I was going to go with this, so because the question I was asking is, have these three transfers done enough to you to maybe say that Kim Caldwell has what she needs to, with her coaching, take this roster farther than they went this past year under Kelly Harper? Or do you think that's not possible right now?
No. I mean, anything can happen. You know, maybe the players that I think aren't so well-equipped to play in her system will prove me wrong and will be better at it, but keep in mind that last season's team had Rekia Jackson. There's nobody, you know, there's several levels below her in terms of player talent, any individual player on that is. So I think with her system also, Caleb, if she stays true to it, it's not just the up-tempo, full-court game, three-point shooting. She's playing a bunch of people. And I don't see where Tennessee has the kind of quality depth to rotate players in and out and not have a drop-off. So I just think next season's record will be a testament to what Kelly Harper couldn't do as opposed to what Kim Caldwell might can do.
Interesting. John's appearance brought to you by Newbert Collision Center. If you are in Chattanooga, you need to know about Quality Tire Pro. Go to qualitytirepros.com, step in, tell them that Off the Hook Sports said, "Hey, Bo, hey, how are you doing?" They got tires, full service automotive, brake alignments, oil changes, and more. All work is covered by nationwide warranty. Cherokee Boulevard, qualitytirepros.com. John, year one, we may see flashes of this up-tempo style, but given the lack of depth, do you believe it will be something that they can continue doing the rest of the entire year, or do they just not have enough young ladies to play this style consistently for 30-some games?
Well, I think Kim Caldwell is going to try and run. I mean, she made it pretty clear in that press conference that she's not modifying her system, that she and she wants to recruit to that system. So she needs to show future players what she intends to do with the program. I just think it's going to be really hard to do it with this group. Maybe those three transfers will be better than I thought they would be. But if you look around the country at the kind of players that Tennessee used to get in better days that they would have gotten in a transfer portal now, they aren't coming to Tennessee. They're going elsewhere.
So, truth of that, John, but let me play the positive side real quick with the transfers that they've got, because the problem that it was the question you asked when you asked her at the press conference, can her style translate to this level? Because you can't do it when your tallest player is 5'9", I think was what she had at Marshall. So she added Lazaria Spearman and Alyssa Latham. Both are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". I think Latham is 6'4", and are very athletic, six tall players, which allows her to run from the defensive side, at least get out in transition. Samara Spencer, the new transfer, can run a transition offense. She's very athletic. Can that not... at the same time, you do have Jewel Spear and Sarah Puckett back, who both could be sharpshooters if they're in the right situation. So couldn't they, if you turn up the transition and they get good looks, couldn't they be lethal from three, kind of the way that, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to dare invoke the name, Chris Lofton was not that athletic, but he got a lot of great looks in Bruce Pearl's system early, which is why he was so lethal, because Bruce Pearl turned up the tempo so much.
Yeah, that's a good point, and maybe that could work out. I think the problem with some of Tennessee's players is going to be on the other side of the ball, is with pressure defense. I can't really see Sarah Puckett in a full court pressing defense. I think she would struggle with that, and so would a lot of other returning players. But yeah, if you can get that going, and you can and rebound, get going fast, get transition threes. That's the best way to get an open three-pointers in transition. And as you pointed out, we saw that time and time again under Bruce Pearl with Chris Lofton in that first season, which was so much fun to watch. And I think that's maybe if Tennessee fans want to hope for something, maybe that's what they can hope for, players, that there will be enough of a mix. Dave?
Yes. Yeah, you're good, John. You're breaking up a little bit, but go ahead, sir.
Well, you're breaking up too. I didn't know what was going on there. Are you trying to talk?
No, go for it.
Well, I'll just wrap it up by saying that would be a best case scenario. And I think sometimes there's a lot of this could come down to how well Caldwell connects with her players. Can she sell players on this system and have them believe it in this system? That would be a big positive step. That maybe they aren't physically best suited for this, but if they believe in it, they believe they can make it work, and she's encouraging enough to bring out the best in them. That, again, would be a best case scenario, I think.
All right, John, great. This day in Tennessee sports history, and give John a second to reconnect. If we can get him reconnected, John, if you can click back on that link, that would be great. And the question I have for Caleb to wrap up this topic, we're going to get John to reconnect. But the question I have for Caleb, are we past the point where one player can completely change your fortune in women's basketball? I know what Caitlin Clark did at Iowa, but it used to be you got a Candace Parker, you're going to win a championship. You get the Meeks, you're going to win a championship. Is it still like that in women's basketball, or is it more about being to 12 instead of just number one?
I don't think it was. I think it would. I think it depends on the year and the time and how recruits are spread out. I mean, even back then, it wasn't always like that because, yes, you could say Candace Parker and Diana Taurasi, but when Shamika Holtzclaw was dominating, I mean, that legendary Lady Vols team in 97, 98 also had Tamika Catchings. So they had a couple of stars. So I think it kind of, I mean, you see this in men's college basketball. Some years it's a team, and in other years, Syracuse gets Carmelo Anthony and just rides the wave to a championship. So.
All right, let's get John back. And I know you had a question about Tennessee baseball. Let's make it today's tough question. And that is right now.
Today's tough question. Take a side.
Take a stand.
The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
You want to set this one up, Caleb, or I can. Let me go ahead and throw it out there to get it to John, because I know he has an appointment to get to. And that is, do the Vols have all the pieces to win a national in baseball? They are ranked number one in the nation. John, I know you're quite fond of covering this team. Do they have all the pieces in place? If not, what are they missing?
Well, certainly you'd like to see a team with better starting pitching, more A.J. Russell, who was expected to be their number one guy, has been hurt pretty much the whole year, hasn't been pitching. They're still working with him. Maybe he'll come back. But I've seen it in the last 4 or 5 years following college baseball. I really didn't follow it before then. But what I've seen is teams come together in the postseason a lot of times, late in the season. You get a hot pitcher. Things just – it happened with Tennessee last year. When they moved starter Chase Burns, who was struggling as a starter, moved into the bullpen, and he became an ace closer. And that fueled Tennessee's run to the College World Series. Tennessee has enough pitching where with its lineup and its defense, yeah, it could win a national championship with this team.
John, is it almost – do you believe there's some method there's some merit to the idea that the number one overall seed is cursed in the tournament though? Because they haven't won it since 1999. And Tennessee, like, do they really, they're, for those who don't know, Tennessee is now number one. They were number one 2 years ago and got bounced out in the super regionals. Do you really want to be number one at this point in college baseball?
Yeah, I don't believe in curses, but I do believe when you go back to 22 and Tennessee had that historically good team that went 57-9 and everybody was talking about being one of the best teams of all time. It wasn't just being number one then, it was number one for a long time. I think it increased the pressure on that team. I don't think it really will on this team because it just popped up as number one. But that team, I think, felt the pressure in that super regional against Notre Dame. Tennessee had a better team, but he lost the Super Regional on its home field. Notre Dame played great. And that's what I've seen happen with the – there's like 8 or 10 SEC teams, probably 10, that will make the NCAA tournament. And a few years ago, Ole Miss won the national championship when it barely made the tournament. and had a losing record in SEC play. So it's harder to predict in the NCAA basketball tournament. But I don't think, to your question, I don't think being number one now will really hurt Tennessee. It's not like it was in 2022. That team clearly felt a lot of pressure going into the Super Regional, I think.
They did feel a lot of pressure. A lot of that was their fault. How much pressure do you think they felt because they were wearing the necklaces and doing the fur coats and all that stuff and flipping off umpires and getting wild and throwing crazy parties at the SAE house right next door? Not they weren't doing all that. But, they did have a reputation as being this party team. I think that added pressure on them in 2022.
I don't think it was that. I think it was the fact that it got so much attention for being so good. And it was a team that so many people love to hate. But I think it thrived off that. And I think it played really loose and was really good in the clutch all season. I think there's a different kind of pressure. It's kind of like in the NCAA basketball tournament when you get to that Elite Eight game. I think that's where most of the pressure comes into play. You're almost to the Final Four. You're one step away. And if you're a really good team and you're supposed to be in the Final Four, you feel pressure. And I think that team felt a lot of pressure because of that, not because of how it was really loosey-goosey all year and didn't really care what people think. I don't think that had anything to do with it.
John? We can agree to disagree. Great stuff. We can follow your column. What is coming up next?
I don't even remember. I've been cranking out so many columns. I know it'll be really good, though.
There's no question in my mind. He's John Adams. I'm Dave Hooker. Have a fantastic rest of the day, John. We appreciate your time. Brought to you by Newbert Collision Center. Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, staying on this baseball topic, I disagree with you. I think being cool was at the very least a distraction and pressure to remain in this cool cat team. You know, they were kind of like John Travolta. They were cool. They didn't just want to win cool. I think that was added pressure on them. Do you not?
I think it might have been added pressure, but I think maybe we're making a mistake trying to put a science behind why Tennessee lost. And I asked that question of John about number one seeds, but I don't believe there's a science behind it. Dave, I'm just going to put it out there. There's a great breakdown on the element of randomness in sports and which sports this does not mean one sport is less skilled than the other. It's which sport is the better team least likely to win because so many other lucky factors are in play. Dave, you know baseball is by far number one in terms of randomness, right?
As a sport. Well, I think the two that produce the most unlikely champions, funny you bring that up, are the NHL because a goalie can get hot and unbeatable, and college baseball because one pitcher can get hot and unbelievable. So I think the lesser of the best team wins the championship more often in those sports than in any other sport. Perhaps we could argue college basketball because it's a one-game tournament, but you wouldn't argue the NBA because it's a seven-game series. So I think those two sports are the most likely to have a champion that really isn't worth being a champion. Sometimes does the college baseball World Series not feel a little bit like a fun carnival exhibition thing opposed to a tournament? I mean, you go to the NCAA tournament, you're like tense. I guarantee you go to these college football playoff games and you're tense. I went to the college baseball World Series once and it was just a good old day at the park.
Well, that's my point. It's a circus.
So there were elimination games, Caleb. It was like, it's a fun day at the park. Let's have another hot dog.
Well, that's my point. The college baseball tournament is a circus. And by the way, you left out one big one. Major League Baseball is now a gimmick too, and how it's now very random and who wins.
It is because of their playoffs. It is.
Yeah, And I remember, you know, my brother's a hardcore Braves fan, and he, you know, everybody talks, oh, 16 division titles or whatever, and they choked all those years. I don't think it was indicative of anything other than they just didn't get lucky. I think most of I think 95% of the time, it's just a team that gets hot in the postseason in baseball. And it's more.
Now, wait, let me take a step back. Ahmad, I appreciate you calling me the man. I'm not, but Caleb's man, but thank you. Let me take a step back on that. At some point, it has to be pressure, right? I mean, at some point, the Bills, when they lost their third in a row, had to feel pressure on fourth in a row in the Super Bowl. At some point,
the Braves football and the Bills were significantly.
No. Hold on. At some point, the Braves, it had to be a mental hurdle because they only won one World Series and won the 16 division titles. I mean, at some point, it does become a mental hurdle. I'll point to the NFL. I think the Bengals are beginning to think that they are a cursed franchise. I just believe there are mental hurdles that create themselves in sports, and I think that Tennessee is on the verge of, if they've got another team that is this good and they fall short of the College World Series, don't you think there's a mental hurdle moving forward?
I'm not denying mental hurdles, and maybe the latter part of the Braves run that happened, but like the year after they won the World Series, remember, you know this, you're a Yankee fan. They were up 2-0 on the Yankees, won two games in New York, and then lost three straight at home. And then that wasn't a mental hurdle. That was just the luck of how things got red hot at a certain time. And I mean,
a game can just be a game. It doesn't always have to have a mental hurdle, but I think if you fall short over years, I just remember I thought this before. And when Mondre Dickerson, the defensive tackle, said, when we play Florida, we get tight, even the coaching staff. That, to me, was all the proof I needed for my entire career that the things that we surmise and predict that could be happening are oftentimes happening. They had a mental hurdle with Florida.
Oh, I believe in mental hurdles, too. No, you're not hearing me deny that. I do believe there is such thing as mental hurdles. But it's easier to draw that line with football because football's not as random in who wins. So I guess what I'm saying is, when Florida beats Tennessee last year, or in so many other years where Tennessee was clearly the better team, you start to say, oh, that's a middle hurdle. There's no reason they should have lost to that Florida team other than it's crept into their minds that they should. Because football, we agree, more than any other sport, football determines the outcome of the better team.
Well, and let me tell you this, too. Those Florida teams, people like to say that Tennessee was just better. They were more talented. No, that's not true. I mean, they had a lot of talent across field. Tennessee had more talent in the 90s at quarterback. It would be difficult to find another position they were better throughout the 90s at as a whole. So, no, I think ultimately
the 97 team was clearly better than the 97 Florida team. The 97 Tennessee team was light years better than Florida.
I would agree with that. And I think we could make a strong debate about the 99 team. As well. Yes. I think the 99 team was better than the 98 team. But nevertheless, for the most part, they were more talented, and that's why they won most of those games. Sports Treasures, carrying over 5 million sports treasures and so much more. Follow on Facebook for the best sports memorabilia, daily updates. All you have to do is follow them on Sports Treasures TN, or you can follow us on Facebook at Off the Hook Sports, and we will be sure and share updates with prizes that we had. I had a picture from David Leverton that we'll put up. He said, Caleb, that he's going to go for nose rings because he won our fantasy challenge. So he won a couple of fire opals from Rick Terry Jewelry Design. There we go. He's going to get nose rings. What do you think about a former Tennessee punter with nose rings? Thoughts?
I think it's modern age, and that's going to look epic.
I like it. He may be on the front of a t-shirt at some point. Stay tuned with Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. Coming up, is Peyton Manning too image conscious to allow a roast the way Tom Brady did? I'm going to say yes. And Snoop and Dr. Dre have a bowl game they're putting together. Give me 2 minutes, and I got the best right here with Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports.
Bronco, 59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540. 24 Ford Explorer, XLT, four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
Sports Treasures in North Knoxville is one of the South's largest sports cards and memorabilia dealers, featuring over 10 million sports cards from vintage to modern. Sports Treasures carries a full line of hobby boxes, singles, autographed memorabilia, Tennessee ball collectibles, fan cave decorations, and so much more. See a museum full of collectibles at Sports Treasures, 4819 North Broadway in Fountain City, and Sports Treasures on Facebook. Sports Treasures, where the real sports fan goes to shop.
Have you seen the latest TriStar Hats Co. product?
TriStar Hats Co.? What's that?
You know, those really cool hats, shirts, tumblers, and even license plates with three stars like the official Tennessee flag and stripes like the American flag. Pretty patriotic, if you ask me.
Ah, gotcha. Seen those. Those are cool. Where can I get them?
Simple. TriStarHatsCo.com. And if you order now, there's 10% on any order $50 or more. Plus, use the promo code HOOKED.
With the promo code HOOKED, you get 10% off. That's HOOKED.
And don't forget free shipping with any order over $50. Stock up at TriStarHatsCo.com. That's TriStarHatsCo.com. There are plenty of wannabes out there, so make sure you go to TriStarHatsCo.com for the best quality and customer service.
Will do, and I'll be sure to use the promo code HOOKED. That's HOOKED when I do to save an additional 10% off. TriStarHatsCo.com.
TriStar Hats Co. is a trademark of TriStar Hats Co. LLC. Any use without express written consent is prohibited.
Now in its 45th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Neubert Collision Center.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorneys. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
The Dave Hooker Show.
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
Objective insight, expertise, top guests. Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app.
Download now for free.
Also available on offthehooksports.com.
I compute and obey.
Now to Dave Hooker.
Maud's going to make me blush. I appreciate that. He said, I like Caleb a lot as well. He is definitely up and coming superstar. Both of you are the new voice of Ball Nation. There you go, Caleb. You're the new voice of Ball Nation. Look at him. Up and coming superstar. He's already a superstar. In my mind, this day in Tennessee football history coming up here momentarily, I remind you that the program is represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney, Banks and Jones. Well, it's because they're Tennessee's trial attorney. You can play to win with Banks and Jones because they'll go to trial. You've heard of other lawyers. They say they'll go to trial and fight for you. They won't. They just want to settle. That's the easiest way out. Well, that's not Banks and Jones, led by T. Scott Jones. They won't settle. They'll go to trial for you. Tennessee's trial attorney. They play to win. Truly, Tennessee's trial attorney when it comes to criminal defense or personal injury. Why settle? It's Banks and Jones. T. Scott Jones. BanksandJones.com. Okay, so chatter on the message board. Peyton Manning has had a roast. I'm aware of that. But if you didn't watch the Tom Brady roast, it was a little something different. It was Nikki Glaser. It was a lot of the people that Jeffrey Ross that don't pull punches when they do roast. This was a totally different level. For instance, I thought the most brutal one was Nikki Glaser said, you retired and then you came back to the NFL. You retired and then you came back to the NFL. I guess the only thing that you go back to is your pregnant girlfriend. That's pretty brutal. Could you ever imagine Peyton Manning doing anything like that where all gloves are off, or is he too image conscious? And is that maybe a good thing? Because I don't know how Tom Brady helped himself at all with this roast. And does he need the money? Did he make $25 million? He also said, as for Deflategate, you spent $20 million, NFL, in investigating what happened. For $20 million, I'd tell you I did it. I don't know if he admitted it or he just would say anything for $20 million. This was stupid by Tom Brady. I give a salute as much as I would want to watch it to Peyton Manning for not doing a full-on roast. I don't think anybody's ever going to do this. As far as former athletes, most of these guys care about their image, Caleb.
Well, I give Tom Brady a lot of credit because it shows me that Tom Brady was willing to be knocked down a peg. My thing with athletes, and we cover them, it's the same way I feel about actors and celebrities and Hollywood stars and singers, is the way they hate being taken down a peg. And that's why when they are taken down just a little bit, you see Will Smith go on stage and slap Chris Rock across the face. Okay, because and you see the Hollywood contingency think that's okay. Because how dare you take anybody that's on a certain pedestal down? So Tom Brady's willingness to bring him down a little bit, I'm actually okay with. Peyton Manning, look, Peyton Manning is a little bit different from Tom Brady in the sense of from the second he stepped on campus at Tennessee, he had the Manning name following him. Now, I know Archie Manning did not have a Hall of Fame NFL career, but you're still a coach's son. So you're still thinking a lot more carefully about your image than Tom Brady would be thinking about.
Well, and something you may not know either, Arch was the color commentator for the Saints. So I said something yesterday I thought about may have been misleading to you. He still had a prominent football name. It just wasn't the Manning name as we know in 2024.
Right. And so I think the level of pressure that Peyton felt for himself resulted in him wanting to craft an image. Also because he was so determined to build a legacy outside of his father, which kind of, I mean, you see that a lot with people. You know, Eli Manning didn't care following his father's legacy, but Peyton Manning wanted really to create his own legacy / empire. And he's done a lot of things that I think that to somewhat protect that. And he's always thought about that. And it's very similar to Michael Jordan in the NBA. And it's kind of annoying that they both do it. They're so set on their image and how people portray them, which is why The Last Dance was so amazing, was Michael Jordan. We had all heard the rumors, but he just kind of was like, I want to show you for once just this real side of me and who I really was as a player and just how ruthless I could be, whether or not you like me or not. But this is the results we got. I think Peyton Manning doing something like that one day.
That was surprisingly open, but he still had final say. So we all know that Peyton's final say is not going to go as far as the Tom Brady free-for-all that happened. I mean, that's alert to me. I'm wondering, guys with on their record, Tiger Woods, would he do something like this? Brought to you by the Hemp House, the premier hemp dispensary online with a wide variety, great selection, and strict standards to ensure you only receive the best in CBD or Delta products. Hemp House Chat with 2Ts.com. Hemp House Chat with 2Ts.com. Use the promo code HOOKED for 10% off online. The promo code HOOKED for 10% online. Caleb, which former Vol would you be afraid to roast?
I wouldn't be afraid to roast any of them. But I will tell you this. It's funny you say that. There was a roast one time, and this is how you saw the community was so different back then. They wouldn't be this way now. There was a roast of Philip Fulmer that was hosted. It must have been 2018, I believe, or 2017. Heath Shuler and Peyton Manning all took part in it, and a few others. It became nothing but just a respect roast. It was like kind of really light roast, like, oh, Philip Fulmer had this habit before games or this. But it was like, no one was going to make a joke on how he couldn't beat Steve Spurrier. But I'm like, okay, how are you not going to, like, it's like, if you're not going to go there, then don't do a roast. You know what I mean? But nobody in the Knoxville community was going to dare roast Philip Fulmer the way they should have. And that.
No, and when you and I talk of roasts, we're not talking about the playful, fun roast. We're talking about real, you get up there and you get to say anything you want. I will be honest with you. I'm not afraid to say much of anything in front of anybody. I would not want to be in an Al Wilson roast, because from everybody I talk to, he does not take those sorts of jokes well. He doesn't think they're funny at all. Al Wilson has a lot of great attributes, but I don't think a great sense of humor is one of them.
So he
I'm not saying I would be scared. I would be nervous. Let me ask you this. Which one would you be nervous if after the show they're going to go, Caleb, CC, or as I like to call you, because I love your show. That was a little over the top, son. We need to talk. Are there any of those that you would be concerned about?
Nope. If you want the roast, I'm going there. Now, here's what, and Al Wilson, what you're telling me is Al Wilson would be the type to never want a roast of himself, which is fine.
Right. Perfectly fine. Now, I don't want people to roast me. Good Lord. That sounds like the worst thing that could ever happen.
As far as Manning goes, we have to go here because Tiger Woods could be roasted now. He would not want to be roasted before the 2009 scandal broke, but because he did have that clean cut image he was trying to protect, but he doesn't have it now. But
oh, he wouldn't have been roasted then either. He's been careful with that image forever. So is Peyton.
That's what I mean. Well, no, I'm saying Tiger Woods himself, but like now what happened since the Tiger Woods, you know, all those girls he was with, I think he's lost a little bit of care about his image as much. He shouldn't care as much about it. Where I was actually going to go was with Manning was, look, there's a very sensitive, you don't want to say legal, but harassment scandal that he was implicated in when he was in college that we know about, that you know about, that has been overdone. I don't think Peyton Manning wants to be in a roast knowing that that's going to be brought up, honestly. And I think that's why he would never.
I mean, nobody should want to be in this roast. Which former Vol would you fear roasting is our poll question on YouTube. Al Wilson, Albert Hainsworth, John Henderson, who's the nicest guy in the world. I put him in there because he was just in town recently, or Peyton Manning. Now, Peyton Manning's not going to come beat you up after the roast, but he could make a couple of phone calls to affect your career. Not that Peyton Manning would ever do that, Caleb.
Peyton Manning would buy every house in your neighborhood and purposely devalue it so he could devalue your home. That's what he would do. That's the type of revenge.
And I mean, that is a compliment, don't you? I mean, he'd go around and put bars on all the houses so that people believe there was a huge crime problem in your neighborhood. If he didn't like
yes.
You. Listen, he's never damned O since Dan Patrick said something that made him mad. And I don't even know what that thing is. Once he picks that you're not a guy for him, or you're not a gal for him to work with, he's not going to want to work with you.
Well, he did work with Mike Vanderjack for 3 years after Mike Vanderjack said that he was, you know, didn't have any passion. But Peyton Manning got his revenge by saying our liquored up kicker. This is a thing. I've heard this from a lot of people and a lot of his close friends that, like, if Peyton Manning has issues with you, he's going to make sure he gets the last word no matter what. And I mean, that's why, again, I think the trainer thing was overblown. But why did Peyton Manning put it in his book and willingly reopen the lawsuit? He just wanted to have the last word, didn't he?
Well, let me ask you this too. Was that is it a character flaw to want to be conscious of your image? I think you can go too far, certainly, but for the most part, I think that's a character strength, don't you? I don't think you should do it because you care what other people think about you, like your peers at work. I don't think I should care about my image because of what, let's say, Caleb Calhoun thinks about me or Stacey Oliver, who's one of our writers. I think you care about your image, not overly concerned, but just because you want to be respected as somebody who's a good person. Peyton Manning, I think, does take it a little too far, and he's a little too sensitive. He almost turned down, remember when he was throwing the soft footballs at the kids in Saturday Night Live, he almost turned that down because he thought that would hurt his image. It ended up being monstrously great for his image.
Yeah, I think if you try to protect your image too much, what ends up happening is other people will tear you down, and then you Now, you fall harder because you were so trying to paint yourself as a godlike figure. And I just think that's a mistake.
Well, and along those lines, don't think that people weren't waiting for Tiger Woods to stumble. That's an absolute fact. Now, I don't think people are waiting for Peyton Manning to stumble, and I don't think he has anything like the Tiger Woods thing. But there are a lot of riders sitting there waiting for Tiger Woods to stumble. All right. Who else would you like to roast? Let me ask you that. A former Vol.
Well, I would like to actually have gone to the Fulmer roast because I would have nuked him. But that's, I would love to roast Fulmer. I would love to, I thought about maybe Candace Parker, but I have too much. I can't think of too many negative things I'd say in a joking fashion to Candace Parker. Because, like, what are you going to criticize her for?
I think mine would be, just because I'm friends with him, Fred White. And I know more about Fred from a personal perspective than I do other guys. But Albert Haynesworth would be great. But I'm telling you, there is a chance that Albert Haynesworth would get up off of his chair and attack you on the dais on the podium. I'm telling you, you think I'm kidding, but there is a chance that that would happen. Which would be bad for all of us, would it not?
I hear that Albert Haynesworth is extremely nice and then just kind of goes into a mode where he goes crazy and doesn't have great control over when to turn it on or off, So I think, John, you're right. And Al, it sounds like, according to what you're saying, Al Wilson always has it on. He never has it off. Even in just his regular life, it's always on. John Henderson seems to have the perfect balance of when to turn it on, his mean streak, and when to turn it off. I would have loved to roast Reggie White before he passed away. Rest in peace. I think there could have been a lot of jokes I could have made at Reggie about how ineffective he was as a player his first 3 years, how much of a mercenary he was in the NFL after leaving Philly.
Let me go to the message board. Who would you most want to roast? Somebody said Inky Johnson. You don't want to do Inky Johnson. Butch Jones would have to be number one. It would be too
but
easy.
That's- okay. But see, that's not even a fun roast.
I know. I could write 15 jokes before the end of the show while speaking to Caleb the entire time. That's just too easy. We're going to get to this day in Tennessee sports history, and it's brought to you by our good friends at Sports Treasures, and they bring you Hooker's Corner. We were able to give away an awesome John Henderson autographed helmet last month. We were so privileged to do that. Congratulations to our winner. The helmet is, we're waiting, by the way, Arya, on your address. So it'll be out. And we will give away a grand prize gift each and every month. We'll also have increased contact with us, recruiting information as well. And it's just $9.98 a month. Sign up now for the remainder of the week. You get your selection of a TriStar prize, which you can see right up here. Here's a TriStar prize. If you want to look on our screen there, if you're on our visual platform, it's an awesome hat, but you can choose from the Tennessee hat or the American hat. So everybody that signs up this week does receive a prize, and you'll also receive Celebrate 98, the untold stories behind Tennessee's 1998 national championship. So we're giving some stuff away to those that join Hooker's Corner, just $9.98, and you're going to make that back in your first shipment. Plus, you'll be available for drawings as we move along. Join Hooker's Corner today. I'm going to put the link right in the message board. We would love for you to join today. Again, increased interaction with me and Caleb Calhoun, which we really, really like. So there it is in the message board. And let's get rolling, as Caleb will have to pull himself up because I get confused on that part. All right. From Peyton Manning to Snoop. Do you think those guys have ever kicked it together? I'm sure they have, right?
Snoop went on the Manning cast one time.
That's for shizzle, my dizzle. All right. Snoop and Dre won a bowl game. Can this happen? I'm going to tell you first, you're probably going to poo-poo the idea. So go ahead and get started.
Well, not can. It's already happening. Just want to make that clear. It's already happening.
And then done?
Yes, they're going to host a bowl game.
Love it. And it's brought to you by Dawn Self. They could use insurance there. Customer service still matters. For 40 years, they built their business onto their customers in the greater Chattanooga area. Call 396-2126. That's 423-396-2126. Or go to DawnSelf.net. DawnSelf.net right below. Tell me about Snoop and Dre Bowl game.
So Snoop Dogg and Doc is going to host the Arizona Bowl. He and Dr. Dre are going to sponsor it. The Arizona Bowl will now be called the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop. Is going to be how it's happening. And Snoop released a video message where he said college football fans are exhausted by the constant talk around NIL, conference realignment, coach movement, transfer portal, and super conferences. So it's time that we get back to the roots of college football when it was focused on the colleges, the players, and the competition, the community, the fan experience, and the pageantry. I'm ready to bring the juice back to college football. And hey, so
who's the actual sponsor? Who's actually paying for this to be the sponsor? Is this a gin company? Because it's gin and juice.
Well, let's see.
Are they shelling out? They're not shelling out their own dollars, are they?
Well, they. I think they are for the naming rights. I think they are doing that. It's not exactly clear, but this is what's crazy about it is there have been other naming rights and sponsors involved with bowls. And what's unique about this is it's never been an alcohol brand. They've really tried to steer clear of alcohol because most of the college football players in the bowl game can't drink for obvious reasons. So,
and most college football players do smoke pot. So there we go.
That's true. So this is a random new one where players cannot.
When I say most, when I say most, Caleb, I mean 51%+. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't even blame them. Like the level of pain they're taking, they should. I actually encourage it. But where I'm getting back is that so this follows like Jimmy Kimmel now has a bowl that's sponsored. It's the LA Bowl. But I actually think the Snoop one is a little bit unique. And here's why I think this could work. Snoop, for those who don't realize, because, and I get it, we're all shrouded in covering the SEC. We know SEC culture in and out. What people don't understand is for a certain time period in California, Dave, you know this, there's a deep-rooted college football culture in pockets of Southern California because of USC. Deep-rooted.
Very, very, very true.
Yes. And I mean, the Rose Bowl, if anybody's ever seen the Rose Bowl, if you want tradition and pageantry brought back to college football, watch the Rose Bowl. They understand the pageantry of college football better than any bowl committee possible. So it's weird and people don't really get it. But as much as college football is a regional Southern sport with a couple of Midwestern pockets, weirdly pockets of LA and Southern California love college football because of the USC tradition. Snoop is somebody who understands that and understands the history of it. I mean, you know, talking about a guy who was growing up when Marcus Allen was at USC, who's one of the greatest running backs of all time, talking about a guy who was living in LA when the OJ trial happened. Whatever you think about OJ, that dude is in college football lore. I mean, he's one of the greatest college football players of all time.
True. And whatever you think about Marcus Allen, he's damn lucky because he was supposed to be that waiter that night. Anyway. Go ahead.
But you think OJ could have gotten him, though, the way he got Ron and Nicole. Marcus Allen would have beat the heck out of OJ.
I don't know, but I think having a 9-inch knife helps.
I think he would have stood down if it was Marcus Allen because OJ's such a coward.
That's a different story. Back to the All Blunt Bowl.
Yes. But I think this is great because I think Snoop actually understands what the pageantry of college football is about. He's not just going to try to, he's not just saying this. And I think Snoop, if there's anybody that could make football, college football, cool on the West Coast again, it's Snoop. And here's the other part. I believe the Arizona Bowl has a Big 12 tie-in. The Arizona is now in the Big 12. Many of the Pac-12 schools have joined the Big 12. This is part of the Big 12's move of understanding a unique way to make college football still appealing beyond the way it's appealing to the SEC. Look, sorry, and this is why I say this about Greg Sankey. You don't have to work that hard to make college football appealing in the Southeast. There's no creativity that's required. Okay. No. You just have to preside over it.
You can go to high school football stadium in the South and see that.
Exactly. So if you're the, and a lot of the Big Ten's the same way. So if you're the Midwest, I mean, if you're the Big 12, tied with Arizona, kind of, you know, what do they call the four corner states, Dave? That southwestern region over there, the Rocky Mountains and the West Coast. You want to make football appealing? You got to find a different way. Getting involved, having the former CEO of Rock Nation as commissioner of the Big 12, Snoop getting involved with Arizona, whatever you think about with the Arizona Bowl, whatever you think about him personally, Dion being the head coach at Colorado, a Big 12 school, you're seeing a way college football is going to become. Do you think it's artificial, or do you think this could really make college football matter in places outside of the Southeast just in a different way?
I think all you're saying and being associated with those people makes it hip. Whereas college football compared to the NFL just 4 or 5 years ago, I thought was viewed as the old man's version. And the NFL was the young man's version. But since guys are being treated fairly in NIL, since they're able to move around, since it's more exciting in the offseason because there's stuff to follow, I think that's changed. I think the young guys getting involved, you mentioned Dre, I assume, with the Big 12, and you mentioned, and we got Deion Sanders, and you mentioned these other guys getting involved. Yes, I think brings more publicity to the sport. I've said before, whether it's this Snoop Bowl or whatever it is, the trend for college football is going up, 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 up. And people, my NFL fan friends, think I'm crazy when I say this, but college football is going to be comparable in viewership to the NFL within the next 10 years, maybe even 5. I'm not saying it's going to beat it consistently, but the numbers in the big games are going to be significant. I'm not going to say the numbers of the regular season are going to be significantly comparable because you have so many more teams that individual people want to root for. But when you start getting to the playoffs, I think those numbers within 5 to 10 years, you tell me if I'm wrong, Caleb, I respect your opinion. I think they will be comparable to what the NFL is throwing out in their playoffs. I really do.
I don't know if it's a long-term thing, but I will say that I've agreed with you from the start that the next 5 years of college football is going to explode. I mean, Shannon Terry himself said that, and by the way, he's been how ahead of the curve has Shannon Terry been on every single business he started related to college football? And he has said college football is in the second inning of a rocket ship about to launch to the moon. My question for college football, and I've said this for a while, I believe that rocket ship is going to launch to the moon. Will it go for the stars after that, or is it going to come crashing back down to earth and not getting new followers the way they need to? Because that is the question.
Or will it make the moon? Apollo 13 didn't even make the moon.
True, but they at least came back safely.
That's true, and they circled it. TriStar Hats, for the latest in TriStar Hats, go to the original, TriStarHatsCo.com. It's right below TriStarHatsCo.com. We love TriStar Hats. And if you join Hooker's Corner, and the link is right there on the message board, you will get a TriStar item and a Celebrate 98 book just for joining. It's $9.98. That's it. And you'll get inside info and great stuff on the balls from me and Caleb and that connectivity as well. We certainly appreciate that. Also, I wonder if this bowl game could do things, and what might they be to be more exciting? We would think they would have a great halftime show and a pregame show, right? Your kids don't decide where they play their bowl games. The schools do. But kids decide if they play hard or not. I bet you if you're going to, and let's take a Liberty Bowl that means nothing, or this bowl that means nothing, I bet the kids will play harder because it's the Snoop and Dre bowl game. They sound idiotic. Do you think I'm being idiotic?
Well, it depends on how this is worked in. I hope this type of stuff, by the way, ends up getting worked into playoff games. Honestly, I think that would make it more fun. But I think one of the things they would understand, and I mean, I would just say this. I don't know if anybody's ever been entrenched in it. I just know through family ties and things like that, exterior family, in-laws, the HBCU culture has a very, very, very steeped in tradition college football culture. And the big thing for those is the bands. I'm sure you know about that, Dave, the bands for the HBCUs. The bands are huge. It's a big point of pride. I mean, in a lot of if you guys ever go to HBCU games, a lot of times they won't even be watching the game. That's when they're getting their food and stuff. And then everybody's in the stands when the bands are performing at halftime. Everybody.
Well, we had a school, and I can give you an example. We had a school called Austin East in Knoxville. And what would happen is people would get their ducks in a row, in which they would basically recruit that school. And for instance, you could say you wanted to go to Latin at Powell, and they didn't offer Latin at Austin East, which was an inner city school. So I'm giving you all that background to tell you that at times Austin East was horrible. At times they were great. If they got their kids poached, they were horrible. But I can remember many times Powell playing their rival Austin East, which was an African-American school. And I can remember nobody coming to the game from AE until about 10 minutes before halftime. And then they all wanted to see the band because they would lay down the instruments, dance. It was super cool. And then they would pick their instruments back up and keep playing. Yeah, it was worth watching. I didn't watch bands except for the AE band, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And so it's a huge part of HBCU culture for when college football, as you know, was huge among HBCUs before integration, because that was where they would go. And you know this, the AFL and NFL would scout the HBCUs more than they scouted the SEC for a period of time in the 60s because of how good the talent was there. And that's where the band culture really got big. Well, nowadays a lot of these bands, they focus a lot with current music, so they're very up to date on hip-hop music and things like that. And they are, you're right, the dancing and stuff is really cool with how they incorporate it in. You don't think Snoop is aware of that? You don't think people like Dion are aware of that?
Can I give you what I think is the answer to these bowl games staying relevant, and I thought about it a lot last night. It's the same thing that the NFL Pro Bowl did forever. You pay $25,000 to the winner or $12,500 to the loser. And I know that I'm not saying that those are the exact numbers, but I think a financial reward to the winner is the way to go to continue for them to be relevant, so that they play hard, so that they push other players that are thinking about skipping and opting out to play in the bowl game. That to me is the best way for those bowl games that we worry about to remain relevant, because it's going to be a struggle with the playoff in place.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a big struggle. And that's
There's going to be 10% of the players that you're going to be talking about a lot less money, so they don't care. But 90% of the players, it's $25,000 would be a pretty big chunk of change. The bottom player on a roster gets roughly 50, 60 grand from NIL base before they start to grow as a player. So that would be a lot of money to more than half of the players.
So the only problem with that is, I don't think these bowls are going to generate enough money to pay the players out I think they're going to operate at a loss.
That's true. But now if I'm in a meeting with the bowl games, I'm saying, don't worry about that stupid billboard that you're running on, next to the stadium. Don't spend money on that. I mean, I would have a different way of spending in the promotion of the game, because boy, they can waste money with the best of them. He's Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. The show represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Others say they go to the trial. They won't. With Caleb, I'm Dave, a presentation of Off the Oaks.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.